of the Lord in the church up in Nebraska. They have a wonderful pastor up there who loves the Lord and the people who love the Lord. They run about 500 in Sunday school, and some of them listen to our broadcast every Sunday, and they pray for us. And it's always good when people dedicate their talents to the Lord. Not much of that done anymore, is there? We get our guitars out and we get our musical instruments out and we look for a honky-tonk or a place to go where we can play the kind of music the world likes. I'm telling you, it thrills my heart when I see somebody take the musical talent that God's given them and dedicate it to the Lord Jesus Christ. I wouldn't give you a dime a dozen for some of this mess today called music. Folk, why you let me get on this? My soul, my soul. If you do not follow along in your Bible, you're not going to get anything out of the message. It's going to be dull. It's going to be boring. But I tell you what, if you'll follow along in your scripture, I believe the Lord has something to say to each of us today. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, chapter number 22. Chapter number 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. They shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Then said he unto me, see thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. I want to speak this morning on the subject, what will we do in heaven? What will we do in heaven? Please notice that I'm not preaching today on what will heaven be like. The reason I'm not preaching on that is because I don't know. I've never been there. And you don't know. You've never been there. Only man I know who went to heaven and came back, he was forbidden to talk about it. Please turn to 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 4. 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 4, Paul is writing, it's not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ, now he's speaking of himself. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether he was in the body, I cannot tell. Whether he's out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth such a one, watch this, he was caught up to the third heaven. And I saw such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. We do not know all that the Apostle Paul saw when he went to heaven and came back to this earth, but we do know that he could not relate it. He could not speak about it. though I am not speaking on the subject, what will heaven be like, I am preaching on what will we do in heaven. An animal has only a body, but a human being is an immortal soul with a body. And when a person dies, that is not the end of anything. He'll continue to live on throughout eternity. He is immortal. The soul of man is immortal. He'll either go to hell and live, or he'll go to heaven and live. Now, the Bible teaches the reality of hell. That's not just a horror story. In the book of Mark, chapter number 9, verses 47. Book of Mark, chapter number 9. Verse number 47, 46 and 47. Pick up with verse 47. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It's better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. So the Bible teaches there is a hell, and people who die in an unsaved state go to hell, and they don't go there to visit, they go there to stay throughout eternity. Now, a person who doesn't know the Lord will live in torment and punishment throughout that period of time, eternity. However, the Bible also teaches the reality of heaven. The Lord Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. In John 14, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, that's heaven. You have a house you live in. God has a house and a home he lives in. It was a foreshadowing of that home in the tabernacle and in the temple in the Old Testament. But God operates from the third heaven. That's the home of God. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. The Bible teaches the reality of heaven. Heaven is a place where only believers go. They too will spend eternity there. Now, eternity, how long is it? It's a long time. It's a long time. I heard one preacher say that if a bird could go to one of the coasts, east coast or west coast, to observe the Pacific or to observe the Atlantic, and go down and just on the shore and pick up one grain of sand every 100 years. How long would it take that one bird to pick up a grain of sand from the Atlantic coast or the Pacific coast, one grain at a time for 100 years? Huh? I don't know. And you don't know. But I tell you one thing, back in North Carolina, we'd say, that's a long time. That's a long, long time. Eternity is a long, long time. It never, never, never ends. Have you ever wondered what God's people will do when they get to heaven? We've been living in our home for many, many years, but one day we'll live there no longer. But when we go to heaven, we're going to live there forever. Forever, ladies and gentlemen, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Question is, what will people do all of eternity? What will God's people do all of eternity? People have some crazy notions. I picked up on these down through the years. Some think that we'll just go to sleep in heaven and just never wake up. Some think that we'll lazy around and rest from all of our labors. Maybe we'll find us a big fat cloud somewhere around and just, like a recliner, just kind of nuzzle up in that cloud forever and forever. No, God does not condone laziness on earth, neither does he, and will he condone laziness in heaven? Some think we'll be like angels with wings. We'll just fly around all the time. Where are you flying today? Have no idea. I just enjoy flying. Everybody just be flying with a bunch of wings. will not sit around reminiscing about earth. You remember the children of Israel started doing that in the wilderness wanderings. When times got tough, they said, you know what? We had some leeks and onions and garlic down in Egypt. And I can assure you that God's people won't be sitting around reminiscing about things they had on their surf. Boy, I sure wish I had a Whataburger and a Coke. Oh, that would be so good. Reminiscing about the kind of lifestyle we had on this earth. Not going to be anything like the lifestyle that we've had on this earth. And we'll not spend our time debating over doctrine. We will not spend our time debating over doctrine, because we're all going to believe the same thing when we get to heaven. There will be no doctrinal discord. There will be no doctrinal differences. All we'll be surrounded with and saturated with is the truth of the Word of God. Everybody will know that truth. Everybody will praise God for that truth. So what are we going to do? Number one, when we get to heaven, we're going to worship God. He is the main attraction of the future. God Almighty in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Revelation, chapter 4, verse 4, verses 10 and 11. Revelation 4, verse 4 and 10 and 11. The Bible says, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Now, the 24 elders, it's been a subject of debate. I, for one, believe that there were 12 representative groups, or 12 men that represented God's work and God's elect in the Old Testament. They were the sons of Jacob, called the Israelites, 12 tribes. And then you come to the New Testament, and there were 12 apostles that represent God's work and God's elect in the New Testament. It is a sum total of those who were saved in the Old Testament and also those who were saved in the New Testament. And since the New Testament, all of God's children are represented by these 24 elders. And what do they find themselves doing? Worshiping God. Worshiping God. So we will worship God. Heaven will be one great church service. Oh, boy. We're going to see some stuff, aren't we? Heaven will be one great big church service. You know, there's some folks called Baptists, they very seldom ever come to church anymore. Huh? Maybe they come Easter to see about the Easter egg bunny and all that's supposed to happen, or to speak about the one aspect of Christ, and that's His resurrection. Or they might just visit once in a while. You know what? If you went to heaven with that concept, you'd be bored stiff, because you're going to be in church all your life. In glory, it's going to be eternal. In church. In church. We'll worship God. Number two, when we get to heaven, we're going to serve God. We're going to serve Him. In the book of Romans, chapter number 6, verse 22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. We're going to serve the Lord. In Revelation chapter 7, verse number 15, therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple, and He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. And in the third verse of our main text in the 22nd chapter, the third verse says this, and there shall be no more curse But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Now, I have no way of preaching this next point. Dog's opinion, it's my opinion. He tells them where to go. They accomplish the will of God all the time. Anytime. I'm not so sure, but what we as God's people, when we get to heaven and we begin to serve the Lord, we might be able to take care of some of those duties and begin going where God wants us to in the vast domain of God's heaven and doing those things that please the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Since creation, angels have run errands for God. We might relieve those angels of that duty. We'll serve God. Could we look down on earth, up in heaven, we'd see people like ants caring for earthly duties. We'd see a human population going to work, doing this, taking children to school, going to sports events, all the many things that we busy ourselves doing on planet Earth. In heaven, millions of believers will be moving about like ants, serving the Lord, serving the Lord. What will we do when we get to heaven? We'll worship God. We will serve God and behold beautiful heaven. Number three, we will eat from God's table. We will eat from God's table. In Revelation 7, verses 16 and 17, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. How good it must have been tasted for the disciples when they had fished all night and had not caught anything. And early the next morning, at a distance, they could see someone on the shore, and smoke was billowing up and food was being prepared. And come find out, fish was already being caught and fish was already being fried and prepared by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said to those weary disciples, come and dine. And I tell you what, they got to the shore, and I don't believe they've ever had fish that tasted as good as those fish did, because the Lord had made them and the Lord had prepared them. They were eating from the Lord's table, from the Lord's table. One day our toil will be over. Thank God for that. Now, if you're young, you can't appreciate that. But if you're old, you can appreciate that. One day, our toil will be over with, and we'll sit down at the Lord's table and hunger no more. Have you ever wondered what he's going to feed us in heaven? In Revelation chapter 2, verse number 17, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. You remember in the Old Testament when the children of Israel became so violently hungry that they complained to Moses about it, and as a result, God rained down manna from heaven, and they ate that manna, not just once or twice, they ate it for the next 40 years and never ran out of it until they crossed over into Canaan. And the manna is a type of the Word of God. Oh, my dear friend, I do not know of anything any sweeter, any more wonderful than the Word of God. And that's the book that most people ignore more than any other book is the Bible. It's called the most popular book to buy. But I know that, my dear friends, we busy ourselves reading anything and everything except the Word of God. And the Word of God is the Bible. And we're going to have the Bible. We're going to have God's Word to eat on throughout eternity. Have you ever been in a service before? And it only happens when the Holy Spirit decides to visit and to do a work. All of a sudden, there seems to be a holy hush to come over the people because God's beginning to speak. Not to everybody, but there'll be one here, one there, one over here, that as they're reading their Bible, it's like the verse jumps off the page at them, and all of a sudden they're seeing something they've never seen so good. It's so beautiful, it's so wonderful, it's so sweet, it's so glorious. Can you imagine having a diet of the Word of God like that throughout eternity, served by the Lord Himself? The Word of God. It's what we're going to eat. That's what we're going to eat. And this is a type of His Word. In Revelation 22, verse number 2, in the midst of the street of it, not just the manna now, but in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, there was a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of nations. All different kinds of fruit. Ah, my dear friends, the Lord will feed us, and we will eat at His table in heaven. What a joyful experience that will be. Number four, when we get to heaven, we'll spend our time loving one another supremely. Now, folk, look, if you be honest about it, there's some people down here on earth that I don't like. Hey, you don't like them either. I mean, we have our likes and we have our dislikes. There's not going to be one single solitary soul in heaven that you don't love. Now, I'll say this. There won't be any single solitary soul in heaven that you don't know. You're going to know everybody in heaven. You're not going to have to walk up and say, my name is X, and you must be Y. Or I lived at a certain place down on earth, and you lived at a certain place down on earth. I don't believe I've ever met you before. We're going to know one another perfectly and completely, and we're going to love everybody in heaven. Love everybody in heaven. We'll love one another supremely. When Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 13, he says in closing that, now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Why is the greatest love? Because there's no need for faith when you get to heaven. You're not going to walk by faith when you get to heaven. You have to walk by faith on this earth. Faith is seeing the unseen. You're going to be able to see some things when you get to heaven, and you'll be able to walk by sight. We won't need faith in heaven. We'll walk by sight. We won't need hope in heaven because all of our hopes will be full and we'll be satisfied in the presence of Jesus Christ. The only thing that's left is this. The greatest of these is love. You're going to love throughout eternity the people of God. I want to say something at this point. I want you to listen carefully to what I have to say. There will be no human family relationships in heaven. I did not say members of your family not in heaven. I said there'll be no human family relationships in heaven. I've had people say to me, you know, Brother Cozart, I can hurt. One of the first things I want to do when I get in is see my blessed mama. I just loved her so much, and God took her when I was a young person in life, and I'm going to see my mama up there. No human relationships in heaven. No wives. No husbands. No sons. No daughters. He said, where'd you get that from? I am so glad you asked. Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 through 50. Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 through 50. Speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ in His earthly ministry, while He yet talked to the people, He was talking, and He did this continually. on many different occasions he spoke to the multitudes. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother, and he did have a mother, didn't he? The Virgin Mary. And his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, your mother and your brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? He stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother. He changed mamas, did he? My mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Did you know that's in the Bible? The Lord said that. What would happen if we had human relationships in heaven? About the same thing that happens down here on earth. If you go into a group of strangers, you look for somebody you know. And if you see your husband or your wife or your children or your mama, you just go straight to them and exclude everybody else. That wouldn't be heaven, that'd be hell. Do you understand what I'm saying? We've never been there before. And it's going to be different from anything you've ever known in this life. And there won't be any marrying going on up there. We will be like the angels in heaven. And that's another subject I want to preach on. The angels that fell from heaven are different from the angels that are in heaven. There's no marriage ceremonies going on up there. We're married to the Lord Jesus Christ. Does this mean that you won't recognize maybe a spouse in this life, or a son or a daughter that God took in this life? I'm not saying that at all. We will know everybody, but it'll not be a place of favoritism or respect of persons. We'll all be complete in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to love everybody. Is that all right? Well, it's so. Whether it's all right or not. I mean, you think for one moment that the Lord has a special angel up in heaven. And before you go in, you say, well, listen, before I go in, here's some things I demand. No. It's going to be a wonderful land. It's going to be a wonderful place because the main attraction is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will know and love one another as he loved us. We're going to spend our time loving one another supremely. We will sing praises unto our blessed Redeemer. In Revelation chapter 5, verse number 9. What a song service it must have been in Exodus chapter number 15 when Moses led the children of Israel through the Red Sea and they got to the other side and they all began to break out singing praise to the Lord. 2 million of them. That's a pretty good sized choir, wouldn't you say so? And they were singing praises to the Lord. What great things God hath done. That won't even touch the hem of the garment of the kind of singing we're going to do when we get to heaven and stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Matthew chapter 5, verse number 9, the scripture says this, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And it's made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. So we're going to sing a new song up there. Well, I thank the Lord for that. I also thank him for the songs that we and hymns that we try to sing in this church. I like the old time hymns. I really do. What's wrong with songs like All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name? Isn't that wonderful? Get God's people singing that. What about songs like Amazing Grace? How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. What about, oh, how I love Jesus. And then to God be the glory, great things he hath done. Can you imagine standing in the midst of teeming millions of born again children of God, God's people around the throne of the Lord and all singing? And I think it's going to be harmonious singing. I really do. Now you say, Brother Cozart, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. You know, I looked in the Bible and I couldn't find where you're supposed to carry a tune in a bucket. You're supposed to carry it in your heart. Now we have a limitation down here. Some people can sing and some people can't sing. Let's just face it. But you cannot stop the song that comes out of a person's heart. You can't stop that. And we're all going to be singing praise to the Lord. I like singing. I like the good kind of music. I like the praises. We'll sing praises unto our Lord. And number six, we'll reign with Christ. Reign with him. How do we know that? Revelation 22, verse number 5. The Bible says there'll be no light there, night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Isn't that great? To reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll reign with him. We'll have position in heaven. Nothing like we've ever experienced on this earth. Our reign will begin for 1,000 years on earth and then continue forever in heaven. Verse 6. He said unto me, these sayings are the faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. We'll know each other in heaven, and we'll reign with Christ in heaven. Number 7, we'll forever be with the Lord and our loved ones. We will forever be with the Lord and our loved ones. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, it says one of these days the heavens are going to split, and the Lord Jesus shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I believe if an inventory was taken this morning, that every person present in this audience has tasted of death one way or the other. You have been to a funeral of one you loved dearly. You've lost a child. You've lost a husband. You've lost a wife. You've lost a mother. You've lost a father. Every one of us have been touched with that. And how sad it is to have to take that individual and in a vehicle called a hearse out to a cemetery somewhere, and knowing that they're going to be put 6 feet under and covered over, and we walk away empty and hurt. But that's not the end of it, because I'm telling you, the busiest place in the world to be when the Lord comes back is to be in the cemetery. That's where the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then those of us who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds of the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I tell you what, that's hope. That's hope. You've lost loved ones. I've lost loved ones. We all have lost loved ones. If they knew the Lord, and if we know the Lord, we're going to be with all of God's people, including those, our loved ones, not on a human relationship basis any longer, but we'll be able to be with them. And I believe with all of my heart, we shall know them as we know the rest of the occupants in heaven. Look at Look, if you would, please, in verse number 4 of that 22nd chapter, and we'll close with that. Verse number 4. They shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. They shall see his face. Today, we don't have anyone who's seen the face of Christ. 2,000 years ago, there were many who saw his face, and he ministered to the people in a physical body. We've heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. We've read about the Lord Jesus Christ. But one day, we're going to see him. See him. Actually look into his face. When you look into the face of Christ, you're looking into the face of God. The Bible doesn't talk about several thrones up in heaven. It speaks of only one throne. I didn't want to get into this, but I must do it. Please look in your Bible. I'm going to close with this. In that 22nd of Revelation, watch it. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God. Notice not the thrones, plural, of God, but out of the singular throne of God and of the Lamb. It is a single throne, and it's the throne of God the Lamb. Yeah, did you know Jesus Christ is God Almighty? He certainly is. And there's only one throne up in heaven. And on that throne sits none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's called the throne of God, the Lamb. Look at verse number 3. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb, it's a single throne, shall be in it. And watch this, his servant shall serve him, not them, not plural, but serve him singular. You say, why are you doing this? I tell you why I'm doing it. Because it's a common concept that when we get to heaven, God is over here. I mean, he's God. And then his son, Jesus Christ, is over here. And we've got a split in the authority of glory. That's not so. There never has been but one God, and the Lord Jesus Christ is his name. He is the Son of God, but he is very God of gods, and you're going to see him by looking into his face. Can you imagine? Into the face of whom? The face of God, the Son of God, who said in the beginning, let there be light, and created everything that's ever been created. He created it all. You're going to look in his face. That's recognition. You'll know him. No one will have to introduce you to him. You'll know him as Thomas knew him and said, my Lord and my God. And also his name shall be in their foreheads. That's ownership. We belong to him. He saved us by the blood that he shed for our sins on the cross of Calvary. And we belong to him forever and ever and ever. And there'll be no more night there. There'll be no more sorrow there. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There have been rivers of water created to fall from the eyes of people of broken hearts and broken homes and broken lives for the last 6,000 years, my dear friend. But all that'll stop for God's people when they get to heaven. Now, there is a slight catch. You've got to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're not going to go there. I don't care how good you are, what good deeds you try to perform. I don't care what your religion is. You've got to come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. And we live the rest of our life after we're converted, preparing for that day when we shall be called up to be with him. What do we do in heaven? We're going to stay busy, praising the Lord and singing His praises and loving one another supremely. Let's stand, please, for prayer.